part. Thank you
for this.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Happy New Year, 2020. We made it to the future. My name is Chris Otten. I'm with the Grassroots Planning Coalition with DC for Reasonable Development. And of course, this is the coalition here. Jill, you want to introduce yourself? We're kind of rolling together today.
Sorry, I'm very short. So I'm Jillian, for those that don't know me. I am a community organizer at Empower DC. Parisa is actually out on sabbatical until April 1st for the folks that... Wait, is this better?
Yeah.
My bad. Okay, so I'm Jillian with Empower DC. I am the lead on the Grassroots Planning Coalition on staff.
Thank you.
Parisa is currently out on sabbatical until April 1st, so y'all will see me every Saturday like usual, but... I'm the one in charge right now, so please bear with me. So today we're going to be having an ANC panel where we're going to be talking about our priorities as the Grassroots Planning Coalition in terms of affordable housing and things like that. So we do have some ANC scheduled to be here, like Commissioner Farabee, Commissioner Adolfo, but we're also opening up the floor to other folks who are current ANCs or have been ANCs in the past. So if you would like to come to the front, please do. Like right here.
All right, so yeah, go ahead. ANCs, come on up to the panel. Let's do a couple of quick housekeeping things too. Japer, Commissioner, and any commissioners. Commissioner Holcomb, if you want to come up. It's just me, more of an open discussion, really, about how the ANCs are engaging with the comprehensive plan, their constituents, how detailed this stuff is. But quick housekeeping, let's make sure. Does everybody have the handouts that were up at the table? So the priorities, right? So this is the DC Grassroots Plan priorities, our coalition priorities. 500 people decided on these priorities over the last 2 years. So this is what's driving our work here. So I want to make sure everybody got those priorities. That's housekeeping point number one. Housekeeping point number two, the bathrooms in the back, okay, if you need to use the bathroom. There's not a lot of internet down here, so if you need to, you know, leave, just use the steps if possible, because the ramp makes a lot of noise, but upstairs will be the internet. And anything else, I guess, let's just go into it. So everybody's familiar with advisory neighborhood commissions, correct? Who's not familiar with that? Let's put it this way, by show of hands. Okay, so everybody knows the ANC. The ANC is your most local elected official. Each ANC commissioner represents about 2,000 people. I'm a former commissioner in Adams Morgan. I had 2,000 constituents that I had to inform. We're all volunteers. Nobody gets paid at the ANC. There's about between 4 to 10 ANCs per ANC commission, right? And then there's about, I think there's 38 commissions around the city right now. So I think that's about 370 ANC individual commissioners. So every ward has a series, like 5 or 6 ANC commissions, right? So in Ward 1, there's ANC 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. In Ward 7, I think it's B, C, D. They skipped A. They went B, C, D, E, and F. Okay, right? And F. So you want to get to know your ANC commissioner because they're the most local affected, elected official that you can knock on their door. And they're right here, right now. Shall we introduce them? Okay, so on far left is Commissioner Nancy. Oh my God, I'm blanking. How did I blank on your name? I've been working with Nancy and the commission for a while here. Jillian, do you want to introduce them? Because you set up this panel.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'll
just pass this mic.
Reggie's videotaping. there any other ANCs that want to come up? The last call. Okay.
I'm Nancy McWood from ANC 3C, and I represent ANC 3C09, which is part of the Cleveland Park neighborhood stretching from Wisconsin Avenue to Connecticut Avenue.
Hi, Commissioner Teresa Edmondson. I'm 1A02, which is Columbia Heights, Columbia Heights north of Irving, Newton, to Spring and Meridian, 16th Street, and the Homemade, and I like to say the real deal Columbia Heights, okay? The real Columbia Heights.
Hi, my name is Jaber Bowles, and I am on ANC 1C, which is in Adams Morgan. My specific single-member district is basically the east side of 18th Street. So anything on 18th Street is that's my single-member district. So welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Tyrell Holcomb. I serve as commissioner for 7F01. Which is the Minnesota Avenue corridor, the business corridor, also referred to as downtown Ward 7. And I also serve as the chairperson for ANC 7F.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Salim Adolfo. I serve as the secretary of Commission 8C, and my single member district is 8C07, Congress Heights. That's Wheeler Road to 4th Street in between Mississippi and Alabama Avenue.
Good afternoon. My name is Janice Farabee. I represent 2F08, which is Logan Circle. My single-member district, 2F08, includes Franklin Park, which is being renovated to Planet Word, Franklin Park as well as the Eaton Hotel. And this is my first year that I've completed as an ASC commissioner.
Okay, thank you. So the questions that I'm going to be asking, we're only going to ask about 5 questions, and these were thrown together by the Grassroots Planning Steering Committee. If the folks want to raise their hands, who's on the committee? So we have Reggie, Caitlin, Nancy, Andrea, Ambrose, and where's Lark? But also Lark right here with the camera. Okay, so here are the questions. Anyone can answer the questions if you feel comfortable. Okay, so we want to know how familiar you are with the comprehensive plan and how much has your ANC used the plan? Anyone can answer? Okay.
The question was, how familiar are we with the plan and how much has our commission used the plan? So to be completely honest, I became aware of the plan maybe a year or so ago, but I wasn't as vigilant about trying to understand what it meant to the community, to the future of the District of Columbia, probably until maybe a few months ago. And so I don't think that my commission at all has, we have not visited the plan as a commission. I started looking at the plan and seeing that this is too many pages for me to dissect and to have a good understanding of. So as a single member district, I partnered with some other agencies in our in Ward 8, the ANC 8A Education Committee and the Ward 8 Education Council, and we initially looked at just the education component of it, but then we decided to at least try to tackle 5 areas that we thought that given the time and the talent that we have, and it was education, housing, arts and humanities, transportation, and economic development, and that we would try to give folks over the course of the entire month of January to look at that and then present that to the advisory neighborhood commissions in Ward 8 for the timeline of February 14th. And so we've been digging through that for the last couple of weeks.
Hi, it's Janice, 2F08. Same. I was not that familiar, and it, other than the 30 people that showed up to the Ward 2, Office of Planning had, you know, the different wards, that's about how many people in the ward know about the comp plan. For me, as an ANC, I think that's unacceptable, because we are supposed to be number one. Speaking for our constituents. But we need to know that, and then the constituents need to have more time than we're given. We were given an extension, but we also created, because I've been going to stuff, Empower DC, and just because of the things that I've been doing, but I brought this to our commission, and we have created a committee. So we started the end last year, the end of the December, and we're, you know, we've been meeting once a week, and we also kind of created different categories, you know, that we were concentrating on, and we will make our final recommendation at the February 5th commission in order for it to be voted on so that we can submit it by February 14th. But there is not enough time. The government has not given enough time. Absolutely unacceptable.
Commissioner Edmondson, 1A02. So I've been aware of the comprehensive plan for a couple of years, just peripherally, because I was watching what was happening with the Bruce Monroe and the PUDs, and the fact that that was a response to, you know, the comprehensive plan being rolled out early was a response to people doing their homework and stopping just the railroading of this city, of the, you know. So when they, it's early, and this is a living, breathing document that is supposed to guide how the city, so politically I've been involved in it, but as far as how 1A recently, it just happened organically, and our commissioners, thankfully, they're people that are, you know, have the luxury of access and time and resources to get together and, you know, work on the elements. But anyway, so that's what happened with 1A. I am interested in the housing element and the future land use map. The good news about our commission is that the folks who are interested in other things are respectful enough to consider my perspective on it, which is, you know, left of center, considering, you know, they know that DC Grassroots Coalition, that my input on the comprehensive plan and housing and future land use will be aligned with DC Grassroots Coalition, and they know that. But they're willing to, you know, to create something and compromise. But anyway, this letter, I put it on the table, and one thing that I did do, because I was so, like Janice said, it's just a 1,500-page document, and these time constraints, it's like, okay. So I represent people who, a lot of Latinos, a lot of people speak Amharic, and nothing had been pointed out about the language access, you know. And so I got my commission to support my resolution with great rate. Unanimously, we passed to the mayor. Speaking to, we asked for more time for this document, and also the fact that it is not, you're breaking your own law, basically, by not translating it into, you know, the language access contracts. You have for every, it's supposed to be published in every agency. So this is an example of what I did. and it's a way that the ANC Commission can use their powers. Okay?
Commissioner McWood from 3C09. My familiarity, as opposed to the ANC's familiarity, began in the late 90s. Before I was a commissioner, I became a commissioner in 2021. And it was on a neighborhood development project that went before the BZA. And we discovered the comprehensive plan, didn't know anything about it prior to that. And frankly, after the case was over, we still didn't know very much about it. It's been an education over the years. Our ANC has had numerous BZA cases. We've had many fewer zoning commission cases, but I would say the zoning commission cases were the most informative. It got to the point where our ANC felt comfortable writing the first set-down report from an ANC after the Zoning Commission in 2016 authorized ANCs along with OP to write set-down reports, which are the reports the Zoning Commission receives during their process of deciding whether a case will be scheduled for a hearing. And one of the things we discovered when we did that set-down report is how much applicants cherry-pick policies in the comprehensive plan to support whatever development they are proposing, and equally how much the Office of Planning parrots what the applicant is citing as the authority in the comprehensive plan. We wrote a 13-page report. That development proposal never saw the light of day. After we issued our report, it died. I'm not saying it was because of our report, but I don't think our report hurt that general outcome. One of the things I would say about the ANCs is there's a lot of turnover within ANCs of commissioners. You may have a commissioner that gets a fair amount of familiarity with comprehensive plan and may be fairly good at understanding it and realizing how it's being used and how it could be used for the benefit of the community. But oftentimes those commissioners either decide not to run again or they get defeated. So the fact that there is a lot of turnover in ANCs really affects the understanding within the ANC. I would say in this current amendment process, number one, it's not an amendment process, this is a rewrite. This is substantial, there are substantial changes in here. I participated in the 2004-2006 Comprehensive Plan Task Force. I was appointed by a council member to that task force. And while there are a lot of complaints about that process, it is night and day with what is going on here. There were community meetings through over a two-year span throughout the city. There were meetings in the wards. They were targeted. They were targeted to specific topics. There was lots of information that was provided. Then there were actually discussion groups, and policies were generated as a result of that process. In this case, the ANCs, which really don't have any background in land use planning, occasionally we get a BZA case or a zoning commission case, but we're not developing policy. This was dumped on us without any, at least my ANC was never conferred with as to whether we had the capacity, the time, or the time to handle this task that the Office of Planning handed to us. But there was no training. There was no effort to actually explain to all of the ANCs in detail what all these policies were, what these different elements involved with, how they are used, how we should look at them from our community's perspective. You know, when you just change a few words or you add a phrase, it can read like, well, this is perfectly fine, this is really great. Unless you know how it's going to be used, you can support something that in fact will not be beneficial to your community. So in general, I would say this whole process has been flawed, and I would say the involvement of the ANCs has been very unfair. We haven't been given the tools to do the task that we've been handed.
Yeah, so I guess to the question, how long have we been involved with it? There has been an ongoing process. I do know, obviously, this year it's gotten a lot hotter because now is when we're taking public comment period. So in terms of 1C, we have been having committee meetings. Our ANC has three committees. One committee deals with planning, zoning, and transportation. So it gets a lot of stuff already. However, pretty much at every single meeting we've been having people talk about it or offer any amendments to it or resolutions at our meeting actually happened on the day that Ward 1 or Mid-City had their community outreach meeting. So OP did come and speak to our ANC and they did offer questions. I will say that they did. They were kind of helpful in terms of like what information they were accepting from ANCs. Looking at it, it is a very daunting document, and our ANC is mostly honing in on the mid-city element, which is the element that the Adams Morgan neighborhood is in. And we've been focusing in on that and looking at our neighborhood element and trying to hone in on what makes the best future changes for us. The flume doesn't make any changes in 1C, so we don't necessarily are tackling that on an ANC basis.
What's so, the flume?
Yeah, the future land use map, and there is quite. This is a map that the government. There's pictures of it. Essentially, it is changing what the land will be used for, and there's all different types of. Yeah, there's a legend, and it's like 15 different types of zones. So, luckily or unluckily, we don't have to deal with that. So we're honing in on different elements, and then really looking at building the narrative of Adams Morgan. I know that that's a big piece. That looking at the suggestions here, when we're talking about a community, we would actually like that community to be named instead of some vague term. Adams Morgan has a historically Latino Hispanic community. We want that in the comprehensive plan. We don't want to say previously displaced community. Like, we want to know what community was there and how we can increase the opportunity for that community to stay there. And I think using the name and clarifying definitions is definitely something we'll be taking on. I will also point out that we are also looking at other ANCs and seeing what they're passing. And luckily 1A is just right across the street, and they're passing a lot of good stuff. And we are trying to share as much as of what we know. And I definitely think that there's people who have time to do this. They're able to do the resource and put the time into this and hopefully share. And so I do think that there is a failure within OP to not allow us to share, it's not like we're not allowed to share, but not giving us a system to share ideas to actually mobilize this. They're like, here's the 1500 page document, good luck on advocating for whatever your issues are. And it is very difficult for an ANC to manage something like that. So it really is people who have ideas and residents from the communities or coalitions and groups coming and saying, hey, could you, pass this? Here's the document. Look at it. Say yay or nay. And it's really easy, not so easy lobbying, but a really easy advocating. Not a lot of people are putting anything out to an ANC. So I think if you have some type of draft document and are able to share it and have quality bullet points behind it, I definitely think it would be able to make effective change and get ANCs to pass resolutions, especially if it's already like written and where, when, how to adopt the amendment. It's a very hard task. And having special groups such as this being able to do that for us is great, especially if you're a trusted group. So
7F, one of the things in terms of familiarity, coming on the commission, I was not as familiar with the comprehensive plan, especially not to the degree that I am with now. And so to echo what some of my fellow colleagues have said, the document itself is so robust. And in terms of somebody trying to be an expert or really familiarize themselves with it, it really requires the extent, the time that would be required, the extent of time that would be required. The timeline that we have, that we were given, does not allow that opportunity, nor does the extension we were given. ANC 7F actually passed a resolution that would have extended the timeline to April. Obviously, it wasn't extended to April, and just a few days were tacked on to the original timeline. And so I think one of the challenges that, from a commissioner standpoint, coming into the commission, I'm entering my fourth year now. So I've been a commissioner for 3 years. And one of the things that I think about is the initial training that you get as a commissioner. One of the things that is not discussed when you come on board as a commissioner is the comprehensive plan and how it really shapes communities, especially in my community, which is a business corridor with the Minnesota Avenue corridor, and then the number of apartment complexes that have been built over the past 5, 6, 7 years. And so really looking at how some of the legislation that has been passed in the city, i.e. the House Production Trust Fund, and how that impacts communities, specifically communities of color, and understanding how we ensure that as development happens, that we are not displacing residents that have lived in communities for years and years, and generations as well. But understanding the implications that are there with Housing Production Trust Fund and zoning, there were some aspects in my SMD that were rezoned during the MAP amendments 10 years ago that paved the way for one of the developments to be built as a matter of right, opposed to if it would have stayed the way it was zoned previously, the commission would have had the opportunity to weigh in and even the opportunity for a community benefit agreement, opposed to this developer saying that I'm coming to the ANC out of courtesy, not because I have to. And so that's something too frequently that we as a commission have heard just in my tenure on the commission. And so one of the things that we started doing in Ward 7 is we started meeting all of the chairs of commissions, started having a meeting on a monthly basis, and we started talking about the comprehensive plan and how we could really drive that the comment portion as a commission, but then also to our community. So what we did in ANC 7F, I attended a meeting, ABC 365, which is a group that's in ANC 7F, and they have a monthly meeting, and they pulled in some commissioners at a particular meeting, and we talked about how we can ensure the community has the opportunity to give input. And so a number of commissions I know did this in various ways. So what we allowed community members to do is to email their comments that they would like to have added, and then we're turning this all into a resolution that will be a part of the commission's comments as well. So really ensuring that we capture what it is the community has to say as well as the commission has to say, and that we're adding that great weight behind it. And so really understanding that Office of Planning attended our October meeting, right? And so Office of Planning is really, what I see is this system of let's ensure we check off the box, right? And I think that's one of the things that we see too often in our city. It's about ensuring that we check off the box, but not necessarily ensuring that we capture the information or capture the comments, capture what it is that the community has to say about issues and about matters that quite essentially will impact and affect us for the next 20, 30, 40 years. And so I think it's really important that we continue, yes, to capture these comments and ensure that we're providing the great weight, but we have to begin to really push back to our city and the government and the elected leaders and say, we're tired of checking off the box. We want to know that this is meaningful, and that is really going to go somewhere.
So good afternoon, everyone. My name is Commissioner Delia Househill, and I'm with ANC 7E. My single member district is 7E06, which covers the Marshall Heights, Capitol View, and Benning Ridge neighborhoods. I know this is the first question, so I'll try to keep my response very succinct and quick. Our commission, I'm a new commissioner. This is my first term. I knew very little, if anything at all, about the comprehensive plan when I first heard about it through some emails from the Office of Planning. And so I do echo some of the sentiments that my colleagues share around the lack of just preparation. One of the things that I would actually like to give the Office of Planning kudos, because if it wasn't for them, I would not have been able to really educate my constituents and other commissioners about the process for, you know, understanding the plan, how do you review the plan, all of those good things. And so, obviously, when I found out about how important the plan was, I reached out to the Office of Planning. They set up some sidebar conversations with them. They gave me lots of information and resources and tools to learn more about the plan, and I, in turn, worked with a few other individuals to turn that information into readily digestible information for my constituents. And what that resulted in was working with a few groups like the Healthcare Alliance and the Marshall Heights Community Development Organizations and some of my other ANCs to, we actually hosted a comprehensive planning meeting for our community. We also developed a little cheat sheet because I think most folks have mentioned that it's a 1,500-page document, very difficult to navigate through. So we created a little cheat sheet that allowed our constituents the opportunity to really, you know, to quickly go through the plan and pick areas of interest to them. We also developed a survey that had each of the comprehensive plan elements highlighted with the link to the document and a space for constituents to kind of put in comments. And again, just being new to the commission, it was a daunting task. But I definitely would like to thank the Office of Planning for, you know, giving me the tools and the resources. And while I do agree that we, you know, there totally has not been enough time given to commissioners to respond adequately, I do think the responsibility does also fall back on commissioners. As your elected officials, I feel like it's our responsibility to be proactive, to go out, find out information that is important to all of you, and take the necessary steps to fulfill any knowledge gaps that we may have about this issue, right? And so that's the only thing that I have to differ with some of my colleagues on. I do think the responsibility was really on us to do that. And I'll just stop with there because I know that's the first question and I don't want to belabor the topic.
All right, thank you. Because we're operating on a limited amount of time, we're going to try to limit the comments to at least like 2 to 3 minutes. I do appreciate the feedback because I want to talk to y'all more about this. Let's see. So of course, you've all read your area elements, but have you read and engaged with the citywide elements? Because I do know that there are certain chapters that will tell you to refer back to the land use element, housing element, and I think right now our primary concern as the Grassroots Planning Coalition is the housing element, but of course also land use and economic development. So what has your engagement been like with these other citywide chapters, if any?
So since I'm holding the mic, I'll be very quick and short. You're absolutely right. One of the challenges that we have experienced is really just finding individuals that would take the lead on reviewing some of those separate elements, right? Because it's a 15-page document, totally unrealistic for any one person to kind of go through all of those different elements. And so what we've tried to do is coordinate with groups like our Education Council to say, hey, are you guys, or can you take the lead on reviewing the education element? Or, you know, working with the Marshall Heights Community Development Organization, which deals with housing issues, to say, hey, can you guys look at the housing element and then you send us your comments back? So those are some of the strategies that we've used to tackle that.
And for us, we did housing, you know, I'm the chair of the public space and transportation, so I took transportation. Mm-hmm. So we had a couple of chunks where we were able to put, you know, subcommittee members that were responsible for those, and then for me, even further near Northwest and Central Washington, but I did the whole transportation going through the whole, you know, city, the citywide element, and that's basically what we've done.
So there's a couple of things. In terms of the housing, we broke it down to Ward A specific and the area element. And I just happened to look at some of the stuff on my own across the city and some of the things that stick out to me, especially what I see some of the other documents you gave us, is where, for example, public housing and shelters are going to be placed as we move forward. And we don't see some of those things in other parts of the city as we do east of the river. So those are red flags to me that stuck out the most, especially with the shelters. And I think that when you concentrate poverty in one community, you're not only concentrating poverty in terms of financial elements of our community, but the creativity. You're concentrating the education level of people who are poverty stricken in one place. So then it's going to make it difficult for us to be able to expand to other areas of life and improve the quality of life if you're just going to concentrate all of that in one area. And obviously we know those other areas will be able to flourish because they will have a higher concentration of people who have more access to resources. So that stuck out. But then also the issue of public housing, I'm still learning a whole lot more, but one of the things that I think I'm starting to see, and I don't think this is just DC specific, but maybe across the country, is that we're moving away from public housing to where we're moving to a space where a lot of the public housing is going to be privatized, but it'll have federal subsidies. And so I'm definitely not in support of that. I've actually seen that happen in the military, where the housing on the military bases have gone away and they're privately run. And so I think those are some of the biggest things that will definitely impact us. But the challenges I'm seeing in Ward 8 is when we ask some of the folks to participate and come out, they're just not as aware of other things that they need to be. So when they get to the table, there's still a deficit there to get them to try to understand what some of the things that they're seeing. So that's where we're kind of at right now.
Yeah, I echo the sentiments that some of my commissioners have, my colleagues have said already, in terms of looking at how the overall city plan or the elements impact Ward specifically. I think one of the things too is like looking at how Office of Planning, one of the things they did was like broke out by kind of like neighborhoods or boundaries. They did like fact sheets in terms of an overview of what the plan calls for. But one of the things that would have been really helpful is to look at by ANC and see how the elements will impact each ANC. So at that broad citywide scale, but then also too from the ANC's perspective as well, looking at each ANC. But I think also too, one of the things that's been critically helpful for me as well is like relying on some community members, one of who was here today, who brought up some of those issues, specifically around the housing piece. Looking at how we're concentrating, Ward 7, I think is no secret, looking at how development has moved throughout the city, Ward 7 really is that last frontier. And so looking at the way that the city has really concentrated the number of affordable housing, specifically in 7F, we have three particular complexes that total about 500 units, and there's actually a second phase that's on the way for one of the other properties, which will bring that total up to about 600, close to 700 units of what's supposed to be deeply affordable housing. And so looking at how we really tackle the issue of systemic poverty, it's not going to be done through the way that we've seen try to be created before. We're concentrating everybody who's in the same bracket or in the same predicament and situation in one place. But it's got to be creative and solution driven. And so I think really pushing on our leaders and relying on community members to bring some of these things out and to the forefront to ensure that it's a part of what we're submitting and what we're saying to the city in terms of how we're really ensuring that equity is dispersed across the city. And so that it's not just on one side of the bridge, but that equity is throughout the city. And so I think really being intentional about the way that we go about with our comments has been really important. And again, I think too, just really ensuring that the aspects from the city perspective that impact each ward or ANC would have been something that could have been even the more helpful.
Certainly. So 1C has definitely relied on neighborhood associations. So Kalorama Citizens Association, I think we have a few that are in the room now. But also the Reed Cook Neighborhood Association. And then in terms of like business improvement or anything that has to do with like health or human services, I've relied on our local nonprofits. So Mary Center is located in Adams Morgan. I've reached out to them and seen what issues they have, having one-to-ones, and then seeing how we can further their clientele and allow them to be able to use their services better. And then also the Business Improvement Districts, they have requests related to looking at the different business drives. So there are definitely community organizations that we are able to get information from. So in terms of 1C and what elements we're tackling outside of our own element, transportation, housing, those are definitely our biggest ones. So.
Hi, so Columbia Heights, as you all know, is the densest neighborhood in the city. So have to consider almost all of them. So I mean, public space, parks, transportation, housing, land use, you name it, zoning. And what we found was that there was a lot of cross-referencing in the elements, which worth, if we really had time, it would be an iterative process, right? And the document would eventually reveal itself, right? But the fact that the time is so short, and we, I know zoning, I know transportation. I'm a freshman commissioner, and I had to jump in. Columbia Heights, that, you know, they're talking about upzoning, and you know, she, this commissioner said there's like 2 to 3 commission of BCA cases, you know, a year. There's 4 every meeting in 1A. So we are leading the pack. Our chair has been there 8 years. Our vice chair, you know, it's a group of people who are concerned about how Columbia Heights is going to. But the fact is, equity is a word that's been thrown around a lot, and there's nothing equitable about this process. I see development in Columbia Heights. I'm there, I see it all the time. This thing is being pushed, and it's borderline criminal, really, in my opinion, that this process, I told you I have people who speak Spanish, who speak Amharic. They're not even included. The document is not even translated. What is going on here? And that's my take on it. I can sit here and try to be a politician and politically, you know, but I have to tell the truth. This thing is, it is borderline criminal. The fact that they wrote it out so quickly and in response to the, you know, the suits at McMillan and Bruce Morton, and this thing, you know, the smart growthers and the banks and the developers are behind changing this city. You know, I came over the gateway, Martin Luther King, and I had a visceral reaction. Our city is being sold, you know, to the highest bidder. And this comprehensive plan, you know, it's there's nothing equitable about it. My resolution was in solidarity with the east of the river and the ANC commissions that just don't have the, you know, ability to access it to be like 1A or Shaw, you know, where Alex has been the chair for 21 years. You know, these people are organized. And anyway, yeah, he's an awesome commissioner. So is Kent Bays. But, you know, that's my take on it.
In terms of familiarity, I've read the housing element, the economic development element, the Rock Creek West element, and also the land use element, and use the land use and the housing and the Rock Creek West elements to do a presentation to my SMD, pulled out the policies in those. But I've also read almost all of the area elements, with the exception of Central Washington. And I did that to try to figure out how the economic development element, which is startling, and I would urge you all to read it, among the tidbits that you will find in there are that 82% of the new jobs in the region between 2015 and 2035 are forecast to be in the suburbs. 70% of the jobs require post-secondary education. Uh, 71% of the DC jobs are held by non-residents. That's in 2015, and there's nothing in the economic development that suggests that is going to change. The other thing that is really interesting is that the value of commercial property has doubled in the district between 2006 and 2018. And property tax assessments have increased 85% over that same period. When you look at the economic development element and you look at the housing element and you see all of, and if you look at them separately and you don't link them, you are missing the point. If there aren't jobs, you can't afford housing. Suggesting that there's going to be all this housing out there and that somehow it's going to be affordable, you've really got not only to read between the lines, but we've got to force the city to explain what they mean by affordable housing and who's going to build it. I haven't found one word in any of the area elements that suggests that the city is going to use our taxpayer dollars to produce affordable housing. If we're going to rely on private developers to do it, then we're going to get 90% of every development is going to be market rate housing. It's only going to put us more in the hole, and 8 to 10% will be affordable. And by affordable, they mean up to 60% of the median family income. It's been well documented, although not in this housing element, but by other very credible groups, that our critical housing shortage is from 0 to 50%. The city is primarily responsible for funding and supporting that housing. I challenge you to find anything in this comprehensive plan that explains what the plan is from the city to do that. The other thing I would mention very quickly, because I know we want to move on, is displacement. Grassroots Planning Coalition, that is one of our main focus points. When you read the area elements, you can pull out some of the data. It's really fuzzy, it's hard to find, but Black displacement between 2000 and 2017 has primarily been in wards 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. The white population increase from 2000 to 2017, guess where? Primarily in wards 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. The range of displacement has been between 2,000 and 12,000 people in those wards. The increase in white population in those wards has been between 6,000 and 22,000. Then you should look at where the city is proposing to expand population. It is not surprising that there's a correlation.
And also, the low-income housing tax credit, which supports much of the affordable housing in the city, over 25 of those projects are set to expire in the next 10 years. So there you go. You know, how many people know that? Because that's when the city, you know, will come. The tenants will not know. They can refinance and they may use TOPA then, but nobody's publishing that information, and that's very critical to what you're saying. And Ward 1 has a lot of affordable housing subsidized with the LIHTC, you know, limited equity cooperatives. And then you talk about DHCD and how the money has been, you know, not been spent in increasing the Housing Preservation Trust Fund, and yet not using those funds and to tell people that the LIHTC is going to run out soon and you should start exercising your TOPA rights.
It's already run out.
Exactly. In your ward, those are all rent-controlled buildings in Wisconsin, and the city is, engineering, trying to get those folks out of the rent-controlled apartments and put folks in using affordable housing. Look, we got to use vouchers to get them in there, but they pay over market rate, and so, it's a lot going on.
Okay, so since we're running out of time, and we're going to open it up to the audience at some point. Let me see if I have one last question before we open it up. Actually, you know what? I can open up now, but I do want to emphasize the fact that there are 12 citywide elements and 10 area elements, but also you throw in the framework element and the implementation. So in total, it's actually 1,539 pages, and no one has time to read that because I don't, and it is my job to read that. So please make sure to pay attention to it. Yesterday was the deadline for the public comment period, so you still do have time to engage your ANC commissioners. We have some folks here, so if these are your commissioners, please make sure to talk to them afterwards. And but I am going to open it up now. Oh, wow. Okay. We also have microphones at the table. Okay, Ambrose, I saw your name.
Couple things. First, Nancy, you are so much on point with your data, and I wanted to commend you for that data. Please, the commissioner for Ward 1, I love you because you are speaking my language, and Happy New Year to all of you. It's almost, this was designed in such a way, this rollout was designed in such a way that you almost have to have an attorney present for each commission to walk them through this process. If you don't have commissioners that have subject matter expertise, you almost have to have an attorney that knows this information inside and out to be able to, and a progressive attorney, let me just say, a progressive attorney, to be able to walk each commission through this process. In Ward 7, and I'm imagining that this has happened in other places too, Delia had, Commissioner Household had mentioned that her commission worked with my organization, Health Alliance Network, and other commissioners. We actually called and had a Ward 7-wide meeting for commissioners to discuss this. We had the VAPS up, and we had separated in different parts, different commissions within that meeting, and we certainly needed to be more than that. One of the things that was mentioned was the definition of affordable, because we know that it is fairly ambiguous from the city side, or at least it's a range that is so wide that you can't really call it affordable. So one of the things that we talked about in our meetings was to, for each commission or each element to have its own definition of what affordable is. Now, I know that they switched it because it was AMI at one point in time, and now it's something else. But still, to have the commission define it for themselves, what is affordable housing, pass that as a resolution, as long as it is within still, you know, family median income. Well, what range of family median income are we talking about that's affordable for this particular element? And so, and push that concept forward. The question that I have, and I go on because I've been coming to these meetings, y'all know, for almost 2 years now. The question that I have is, at what point are your commissions ready to issue resolutions before the February 15 deadline to be able to get those comments in? And how much effort will it take for you all to do that? On my side, I'm a citizen, I'm not a commissioner, but I do run a health organization, so I'm hoping to submit, at least on the health element, because they do have a health element, to my commissions in Ward 7. So I wanted to know where your process is in terms of submitting the resolutions, because that's what's going to care.
So I would say, for whatever your proposal is, blow it up as much as possible. So like, if you have a one-pager, put it on Twitter, email every chairperson of every ANC. All of that information is public. If not, the email is the ward and the part of it, 1CO7@ANC.DC.gov. You can just go up and through the email chain. And then also CC the DC Planning as well. That way they know that you've emailed them. And then from there, it is reliant on the ANC to take it up. But ANC1C, we have received those. We would discuss the amendments. And then for our personal turnaround, February 5th is when we will be voting and finalizing our resolution, endorsing KCA, RCNA amendments, bid amendments, public comment amendments, and then our own amendments, own ANC commission amendments. And I'm sure other ANC commissions have the same. But I would just say make it as public as possible and easily as accessible and right in front of the ANC commission space. So.
So for ANC 7E, we are planning to vote on our resolution this upcoming Tuesday. We received a lot of public comments, and as I mentioned earlier, we've gone through a pretty iterative process of getting comments. And so we do have a draft resolution. And so if you do have any final comments around health, if you can get those to me by Sunday night at the latest, that would be really helpful. And I know you asked how much effort. It's going to take the whole weekend for us, quite honestly, to pull together those comments. But one of the things that, one of the reasons why we're moving forward with approving the resolution on Tuesday is because we'll have one other chance in February, but that chance is maybe 2 days before the deadline, and we don't want to run the risk of it snowing or something happening, and then we don't get it in. So for us, the strategy is to get it in as soon as possible.
So ANC2F, we are meeting every Monday. If there's anyone here from 2F, please let me know, because our meetings are every Monday, and then we will be presenting on February 5th and voting on our resolution.
So we've done something very, I think, innovative in Ward 8, is that we put up a Google Doc that's open to anybody, that they can view it, and everybody can make comments. So if you can't come to the meetings, you're free to comment on the sections that we carved out. So you can't erase the comments. So we put that up there and made that only comment friendly for everybody. And so we, like I said, we carved out 5 different categories, and we meet every Monday at MLK Elementary School. We won't be meeting on the 20th, that'll be the holiday. But what we also asked was that we could get all of the principals from Ward 8 to come out on the 27th. And that way we can hear directly from the principals, especially in terms of their facilities, what are some of the things that they want to see happen on that day. And so our plan was to then take that document and then send it out to all of the different commissions at the end of January, so that they'll have at least 2 weeks to try to get their resolutions passed. So we're meeting every Monday at MLK Elementary School, which is 3200 6th Street Southeast. If you can't make the meeting, you can go to, I'll send this over to Empower DC and they can send it out. But the website is bit.ly, it's all lowercase, bit.ly/ward8compplan. And you can see the Google folder with all of the comments. And what we put in there was the area element for, I think it's a far southeast and southwest. So you can see what pertains to this particular community. You can look at it. And then we have a blank Google Doc in there for you to add whatever comments that you have. And our plan is to turn that over to all of the commissioners at the end of the month. So then they'll have that 2 weeks to get their resolutions passed. The time, oh, I apologize, at 6:30. 6:30. 6:30 every Monday at MLK Elementary School, right in their library.
So ANC 7F is going to be passing our resolution at our January meeting on the 21st of this month. So Ambrose, we partnered with the Health Alliance Network in the past to pass resolution. So if you would submit that anything related to health that you would like to ensure we have a part of our resolution on the 21st. And so what we did again is we sent out an email blast to our email listserv, which we have over 300 email addresses, not nearly enough as we probably should have, but when you have to start from scratch and kind of build your way up. But we've alerted community members that they can submit any comments that they would like to have added to the resolution to send it to the email address that goes to our commission. And so over this weekend and next week, we'll be working to ensure that it's in resolution form.
Okay, so what we did, we already passed our resolution on certain elements, which were land use, environmental protection element, economic development, parks and open spaces, urban design, historic preservation, community service, and infrastructure, pardon me, in Rock Creek East. I didn't have anything to do with any of those. I would like to have, but what we did was, our website, we've had it up for a long time for the public to make comments directly onto the website, onto the comprehensive plan, and to see what comments and what the commissioners were drafting and their comments. And what we found was nobody was making any comments. And we've had it up for a long time. We've been you know, getting this out to the community. So we decided to do that. 1 in 10 people know about the comp plan. 1 in 10 in the city. But we can still make comments on that and just, you know, add an addendum or resolution. But transportation, future land use, housing, educational, arts and culture, and mid-city elements, see, that's what we're going to, that's how it happens organically, pardon me, as the commissioners that actually are working on it, that's what we're interested in the most. And so we're working collectively on those elements, and that's what will pass, you know, in February, you know. So housing is my thing, transportation is my thing, zoning, like she said, it all goes together.
I don't know whether ANC 3C will have a resolution. We have a split commission, currently, the only emails that I'm receiving are being generated by Greater Washington and the Smart Growth community. I've actually put something out on our community listserv recently, sort of highlighting two of the biggest issues that would affect our community in the amendments and asking for comments. And I'm still not getting many comments. One of my fears is that because of this Office of Planning exercise,